for the last time in this format.
Oh, the last one.
Quite emotional, isn't it?
60?
Yes. Welcome 60 to the Grey Lounge. So cool, because this is Andy Gray's Lounge. We started this series on the balcony with Doha, the capital of Qatar, as a backdrop. Absolutely beautiful, but at this time of the year it gets a little too warm.
Humid.
So we retreated to the lounge.
Yeah, we're in the lounge now, and it's where we should actually be for the last show.
We will share with you a collage of contributions from our guests before we leave tonight, but no better way to finish than in the company of the man who's now shaping football.
Can I say, would he be called the grandfather of football, maybe? The grandpère.
Grandpère. I would like to think the father of football.
The father of football.
Yes,
okay.
I don't think we've quite reached that senior stage. But I am very, very happy to say that our guest for this last programme is Arsene Wenger, the father of football these days.
Yeah. Ah, mon ami, comment ça va? Ça va bien?
Ça va bien, ça va bien. Et vous?
Moi aussi, Arsène. Moi aussi.
Très bien, très bien.
O-level French.
O-level French.
You did get very good.
Arsène,
very good.
O-level French.
Arsène Wenger joins us from FIFA headquarters in Zurich. Arsenal, fairly simple question to start with. And thank you for being there.
Yes, thanks, Arsène.
How, because I think we all agree it has, how has COVID-19 changed football?
I would say it has made the weak clubs weaker and the strong clubs stronger. And it has made us realize that what we took for granted can be interrupted at any moment. And we realize as well that we could live without it, even if it's a very important part in our life. But health came first. And it gave us a good opportunity as well to see the weak points of the structures of the game.
Arsene, can I ask it? But Arsene, okay, you say it's given us a thought to change, but do you think 6 months or 9 months down the line, football will be any different than 6 months ago?
No. It will not be any different, Andy. It will be like before, you know.
Yeah.
You know as well that people, first of all, forget quickly.
Yes.
And secondly, that once you're in the competition, everybody will think about himself, how to survive and how to win the next game, and how can I get the best players, and have I enough money to buy the best players? And that's what will take over again.
But you said, Arsene, the strong get stronger and the weak get weaker. Surely that equation is concerning, isn't it?
It is very concerning, because we live in a world today where is mainly focused on regrouping the elite. And you know well the cases in England. You know, in England, the lower leagues are dying.
Yes.
The Premier League will survive. I don't worry for the Premier League.
No.
You worry more for out of 92 clubs, you have 65 clubs who lose money. And behind closed door, if they open the stadium, they lose money to play the game. So it is absolutely where football has to rethink how can we help these clubs to survive. Because we need an elite, but we need as well a basis where young players have a chance to play and where we have to get these people to survive. The Premier League will be like before.
So many questions that we'll try and share it, but I must just follow up on that.
Go on.
You say you don't worry for the Premier League, and yet half the Premier League clubs are screaming foul already. They are in deep financial trouble. How can that be in a multi-billion pound world? How have they got into so much trouble?
Richard, because most of them live on the edge. When I managed Arsenal Football Club, the biggest reproach I got was not to spend enough money.
Yes,
you know, so,
yes.
We were in a strong, healthy financial situation, even if with limited potential to spend money. But because of a competitive edge of the Premier League, everybody lives on the edge as well. And that's why when you have less income, we calculated here that overall, football, we lose 20% of the income. You know, it will be between 10 and football can say makes 45 billion turnover in the world. The loss will be 10 to 14 billion. That is approximately, you know, the amount of money that football will lose.
Sorry, Arsene, 10 to 14 billion.
Billion. Less income, yes, overall. So that means that if you look at the wages structure in most of the clubs, it's between 60 and 80% of the turnover, you know. So that means only the players' wages can sort that problem out.
So the obvious follow-up question is, I've said to Andy as we've sat here asking across the last 10 weeks, the bubble has burst. We were there at the start when the Premier League was formed.
Yes.
And every 3 years, as TV contracts were renegotiated, we've looked at each other and said, well, you know, how long can this go on? My view is it's over, that it is impossible to continue to replicate the sort of TV contracts that have been previously signed. Are you saying the same thing? Has it gone? Do we have to live in a different world?
No, I don't think we have to live in a different world. We have to live in a different world for a while. And what I told you, you know, that if we have to confine again, the loss is estimated to 30 billion, then you have to live in a different world for a long time.
But so, Arsene, when we come out of COVID-19, and we all hope we do, when we come out of COVID-19, worldwide, are we going to lose thousands of clubs that we already had because of what's just happened in the last 4 months?
I believe so, Andy, because there's too many clubs in trouble.
Yes.
And there's not enough money there to help them enough to survive, you know. Mm. And then you get to a stage where some clubs who have professional players will not be capable anymore to be professional. And we will lose plenty of clubs, that is for sure.
Yeah. So I always like to think of you as an Englishman. You spent so much time
with
us.
No, he's definitely French.
You do that well, Richard.
No, he is definitely French, Richard.
So are you saying that the pyramid as we know it and have known it in our lifetime is to change, that we will lose football clubs in the next 3 to 6 months?
I think so, and I hope I'm wrong.
Me too. Yeah.
We have all in our lives, you know. Now, when you look at football, you have people. They want to see the top of the top quality games. Mm. They want to see Real Madrid, for example, against Man City, and after, they want to watch their local club. But this support has gone down regularly, everywhere. Mm. Mm. And this financial crisis we face now has aggravated their problem. And maybe because in the top leagues we pay so much money, it pulls always the wages up to the maximum in the lower leagues, you know. And if when they face less income, they die or they suffer.
So, the word reimagine has been used a lot. Mm-hmm. Let's reimagine the football scene. Do you think we are edging closer to a place where if the strong get stronger, a European league, a structured European league, is going to happen now and probably more likely to happen now than any point in the last decade when it's been discussed virtually every season?
Well, it will happen at some stage, Richard. Will that accelerate the movement? Maybe, I don't know, but we'll face another big problem in the game that nor you, nor Andy, nor me can sort out is the calendar, the schedule, you know. That means we'll add more games. How far can we go before this world explodes because there's not enough dates anymore to play the number of games you want to play for the elite?
Let me be specific. I'm talking about a Super League that moves the big clubs beyond domestic football, which they're not concerned about anymore.
I would say, being completely crazy, I would think the next step at some stage the Super League will come in. And because I'm completely crazy, yes, I think the only way to sort it out, the only way to sort it out is to regroup the international games to merge them on a shorter period. Because you lose many dates during the season. You lose five dates during the season. And the only way to sort the schedule out at some stage will be to regroup the international games in a shorter period at the end of the season.
Right, okay. I sat here with Andy the other day and I said, again referring back to the word reimagine, why not, and I know this has been discussed and by Michel Platini, someone that you know well and have occasionally had a difference of opinion with, but I do remember Platini saying, were it not for the stupid English, we could do it. They play cricket in the summer. Why don't we start the season in February and end it in November? We've got a World Cup in Qatar in 2022 that sits very well with that formula. But why don't we make the game in the Northern Hemisphere a summer sport in the same way as Rugby League did, turned it into Super League? Why don't we look at it again and completely rethink it?
I agree with this idea, personally.
Why? And, why, Arsene?
Because it's the best way to play on the calendar year in the whole world in the same time. So once everybody will play in the calendar year, it's easier to harmonize all the games, you know. And I've done that in Japan. It looked to me completely abnormal at the start, but very quickly I found it completely normal. We played from March till November, and it was very good. You play in the summertime, that was a very good time. And overall, personally, I enjoyed it very much. And so,
let me be devil's advocate. Let me say, okay, that's fine. If you're in England, that's wonderful. The temperature is beautiful. There isn't a problem. If I'm playing in La Liga, I am really worried about playing all through the summer in 40 degrees, 45 degrees. Italy, 40 degrees, 45.
No problem.
I am really worried about playing in the heat of the summer. So what can we do? What would you say to that?
No problem. We kick off later.
We play at night.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
We
play at night. No.
Yeah, we do.
But the humidity, Arsene, is terrible.
No. No, if you reimagine the calendar for the Northern Hemisphere, it fits. In fact, it sits very well with the rest of the world. How many times do we look at a domestic season in England and say, oh, well, they're leaving for the African Cup of Nations, these boys? No, let's all try
to start at the same time and finish at the same time. It's the whole of Europe.
I said Northern Hemisphere. So why you sit, Arsene, right in amongst the people that make these decisions. You're in the seat of power. Why can we not progress with something as ridiculous as that and make that work?
Yes, Richard, I'm completely on your side on that.
And Richard's loving that, Arsene. He's loving that.
But we had a good opportunity during this period to be audacious and to think forward.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But after that, we are as well a conservative world because, like Andy said, you know, the advantage, Andy, that it would be for our memory, mm-hmm. you will not have to think anymore. Did we win the championship 1917-18?
Yeah. Listen, I know. You know exactly when you won every trophy at Arsenal. I know you do.
But this is the whole point. This seems to me to be a wonderful time to think again. Why do we have to stick with the tried and trusted formula that in so many respects
there's a man who is in the hierarchy of FIFA.
Absolutely. So maybe. All right, let me put another one to you. Is football inherently racist?
Wow.
No. I would say football, by essence, is anti-racist. Why? Because you know that no matter if you are the son of a king of England or if you're black or white or red, if you're good, you play. Mm-hmm. And I would even say that football is an example of how the whole society should work, because it's only based on merit and quality. If you're good enough, you play. And there's inside the game, there's no racism. Around football, in the stands, it happened at some stage, and we've seen it again in England with the England national team in away games. But Andy, you played. I never felt that inside the game was any racism problem.
No, me too. Me too. But let me move on one, Arsene. Do you think that black ex-players or black coaches are being denied access to coaching at the highest level in England, for instance? Which is what people are talking
Maybe
about.
Maybe, that's what I hear. That's what I hear. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a shame. If it is like that, it is a shame. But as well, I'm again, you know, in France we created that concept that about positive discrimination. But that means you give positions to people because they are not given enough chances. But it's as well, it is discrimination because maybe somebody's better doesn't get the job.
Yeah.
So I would say you want people to get the same chances to everybody, no matter where you're from and how you look. But as well, not to create another discrimination because of artificial solutions you want to find.
But unfortunately, I had a conversation with George Boateng today, Arsene, who watched our program with Dwight York and loved what Yorkie had to say about it. And he said, so many of us, we've gone through the system, we've paid the money, we've got badges, and we've given up because we know we're just banging our heads against a brick wall. Isn't positive discrimination actually acceptable in order to get the lads a chance to say, look, you know, I'm a role model, follow me, you can do what I do?
Yeah, of course, but you want people, I think rather than doing that, it's better you give these people a fair chance to get their position. I had former players like Patrick Vieira, he has a fantastic job in Nice. Saul Campbell is a manager. I hope he will make it at the top level, but what I've heard he's doing very good work. So you want these people to get, even them, I think it's a kind of humiliation to tell them, you just get the position because where you're from. I personally fight for the merit. And I've played teams, I played games in England with people from 11 different countries.
Yeah, absolutely. Know. You did, yeah.
And were criticized for doing it, by the honestly, way. Let's not forget that.
Honestly, after the game, when I was told, I didn't even know. Mm-hmm. Because I just chose the players because of their quality. And that's what you want. And that's why I think football can be ahead on that in the society and show what kind of way we all have to follow.
Arsene, let me ask you then, in general, is football in a good place coming out of COVID-19? Can we go forward positively? Or do we have massive problems in the game?
I don't think we have massive problems in the game, Andy, because this sport would not be as popular as it has become in the world if we had absolutely hugely massive problems.
Yeah.
What we realize, I would say, between the moment you played, with the moment I started to manage, what we realized during this period is the distances between the supporters and the players and the club. Mm-hmm. The distances between the media and the people who are involved in the game has become bigger. If we have something to do, if we realize that during this period, is to reduce these distances again on the human front. There's something to do there, you know. We realize how dull a game can be without supporters in the stadium.
Oh, yes.
And maybe we should open as well a part of the ownership to the fans again and get them to participate. Mm-hmm. This football has been created by the fans first, you know, by people who worked in a fabric and said, let's make a football club. And slowly, through the history, this distance has become bigger and bigger. And this, if we have something to do, it may be there.
So have we, or are we going to exacerbate that gap by returning to a competition that actually we could have sorted sensibly? The French stopped, Spanish are back Thursday, The English start next Wednesday. Are we wrong in restarting in these circumstances? Should we have waited until we can do it safely, sensibly,
well, we
and
do
properly?
It safely.
I'm not asking you.
We can do it safely.
I'm not asking
That's
you.
That's why we're starting again.
I'm not.
Arsene, we have a different opinion here. I want to start, Arsene, as long as it's safe, and I think it's safe.
Should we restart in these circumstances or wait?
Look, Andy, knowing you too well, I'm not surprised we have differences of opinion.
Correct, Arsene.
So we should wait and have done it differently.
No.
Start in September, Arsene.
No, we could have started next year and play the scene from February till November.
Well, I would go for that all day long.
It is safe. It is safe. It's the best possible solution to finish the season.
Right. Yeah, okay.
That was available, you know.
Right.
And
now,
hopefully what I pray for is we can get back, because in England, more than anywhere else in the world, the fans live the game, you know.
Yes.
The game, every corner,
sorry,
corner is played by the fans.
You did say the other day Premier League clubs are at a disadvantage restarting. What did you mean by that?
I know what I wanted to say. What I will miss the supporters more in the Premier League than in any other country in the world. Because that's where the fans live, really, every tackle, every corner. You know, it's really synchronized with the game.
And this is a man who used to work in the Highbury Library.
Can I ask, Arsene, I want to take this opportunity right now. We're running out of time. I don't know how, we've only got a little time left. I want to ask you one question.
Go on.
Right? Who is the most gifted footballer you have coached? Come on.
That's a question.
Come on.
You know, that's what you consider. You to speak about the defender, striker.
No, forget that. Come on. Let's go.
What you're saying is the most... All right, let's help. Creative...
No, gifted footballer. The Arsene says, this is the man for me.
Well, you had Bergkamp, Thierry Henry. You had too many.
George Weah?
I don't know. You know, because... It's always difficult to choose one speed really above the others. But if you from the generation I found, the Adam Seaman.
Yeah.
And,
Arsene, I want to ask you one question. Who made Thierry Henry what he was? He came from Italy as a kind of bit type player.
Yep.
And he became one of the greatest. I was going to say Was he a front man?
Did you hear that? Thierry Henry would say.
No, it was more a winger. But
yes,
Thierry Henry would say Dennis Bergkamp.
Would he really? Wow,
amazing! Right, okay. So we're entering the final phases of the conversation. Sir Chips Keswick has resigned as the chairman of Arsenal. And there is a movement which is gathering apace to see Arsene Wenger take over as chairman of Arsenal Football Club.
I'm all for that.
What would the candidate say the chances were of that happening?
The candidate says that he's not candidate.
Well,
there you go.
That answers the question. Arsene. You see that so
he
easy
is
as
Arsenal.
Well. He is Arsenal, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It's been sensational.
Arsenal, yes.
You are Arsenal. Arsenal, cut him open. He's got Arsenal. Arsene, thank you very much.
Thank you, Arsene.
Honestly, been
thank
absolutely
you.
Sensational.
Hope to see you soon.
Arsene, and I promise next time you're here with us in Qatar, Richard will get lunch. Okay.
Awesome. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye. Arsene Wenger. I love speaking to him. You know, all those years ago, before we get to know him, I said, the thing I like most about him is you ask him a question, he doesn't duck it.
Oh, no, he's never ducked a question.
He'll answer it.
No.
And he's just done exactly that.
He's
proved
never
me absolutely.
Well, apart from who's the best player he ever coached.
Yeah, but, sorry, we start in February. we end in November. Nothing wrong with that at all. Reimagine. I'm so pleased he said that.
Yeah, with him. You're even more happy.
This is it. We're not going to shut the Grey Lounge entirely.
And we're not.
We will be back in a different guise going forward. But we thank you for the time you've spent with us over the last...
And that's lasted well, that.
It has. Over the last 3 months, 4 months. It's been absolutely brilliant. So many different people that we are grateful to for giving up of their time to talk
I'm
to
I'm just
us.
Going to say, Valsby, Colin, Luis, to name but three.
Yes, thank you. Those are the critical people that made it happen this end. You're absolutely right. But as far as our guests are concerned, here is a collection of those who spent time with us, and we are so grateful to them for having done so. Enjoy your German, which has been taking place, your Spanish, which is back Thursday, this broadcast Friday, and the English Premier League returns next Wednesday. All of the games, all in one place, all of the time, with us on beIN Sports.
And stay safe.
Beautiful, isn't it? But surreal how quickly things changed over the last 10 to 14 days.
I'm Richard Keys.
And I'm Andy Gray.
I'm Richard Keys.
And I am Andy Gray.
It's Monday. Well, it's nice.
Morning, Gordon.
Welcome back to
number 20, I think.
Is it?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Because I looked yesterday and it was number 19.
What's she called? Mrs. McCarthy?
They're from Doctor.
Richard Keys.
No, Doctor Keys.
Good morning to you and welcome back to the Grey Lounge.
And just plain Andy Gray. Welcome back to the Grey
Lounge.
Thank you, mate. Our guest today,
stay safe. Great to see you.
Right. No, I think that. But we
and pleasure.
Dishes.
Good morning, guys. All right.
Mind the hair.
Good morning.
It was long enough.
Because she's standing. My
phone's gone.
Come on, let's call it.
Just sitting here in the background.
It's such a bit short, Andy.
In a rain cave, I've got to blue. Because I knew how much you love this sun. Here we go. I'm Richard Keys.
Take it.
Well?
Well, stay safe, everyone.
Thank you.
But you already said it.
That's how we leave you.
All right, stay safe.